bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people, if you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth and The Truth app.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. So, it's Wednesday. It's hump day. I have a question. This is for black men. Well, I guess it's for black women, too. I guess y'all can answer, since y'all answer for us about everything else, right? Whenever something about black men come up, black women tend to always want to answer for us. And they seem to think they know what's best for. I sound like I'm Sherwin Hughes now. and so I had a question. And what prompts, as always, many of my questions is reading news stories where the person that's writing it. And I got to tell you, current journalists or people who call themselves journalists who put their personal thoughts into a story, I find stupid and idiotic. Just tell me what the story says. You know, they always want to make it be this flashy thing or add substance to it to make it always, always positive, right? And it's just too much. And the weird part about it is it doesn't matter the race of the journalist. Black, white, Hispanic, Asian, male, female, they tend to always to, yes, about them, I'm generalizing. They tend to always want to make it something bigger or more than it really is when it's really quite simple. Which drove me to ask this question when I read this story. Who said black men can't be vulnerable? Like, where does that come from? Do you challenge white men or Hispanic or Asian men or Pacific Islander men or Native American men to not be vulnerable? Well, like, why is it we have this thing about, oh, it's great, right? TheGrio.com has a story. June is Men's Mental Health Month, and I get it. A time to not only, first of all, on a side note, I'm tired of us naming months for everything. If we can stop St. Patrick's Day, what's the other one? See, they didn't call it indigenous, whatever, that we didn't forget about Columbus. President's Day, all that. If we can get rid of all that, we can get rid of Black History Month. We can get rid of all that. Right? Every day is Black History Day. We make history every single day. So does everybody. So let's get rid of that. This Men's Health Month. Okay. Not only a time to center the emotional well-being of men, but to also radically imagine what it looks like when Black men specifically are allowed to feel. Who said Black men were not allowed to feel? So when Allen Iverson let the tears flow when reflecting on his friendship with Shaquille O'Neal is a reminder of the power of friendship and vulnerability. Let me roll up Hanaya Philonge, Philogene. In Netflix Power Moves, the new documentary chronicling Iverson and O'Neal's journey to rebrand Reebok basketball, viewers get a rare look at a softer side of two cultural giants. The former NBA MVP Iverson, once known for his fierce intensity on the court, took an emotional pause while speaking with his longtime friend and now business partner. What is this emotional pause garbage? Like we have to flip back and forth? Iverson said of O'Neal per People magazine, "I love him so much. I don't want to be up here crying in blank. You know what I mean? I just love him." Since when did Black men not tell Black men they love them? For Iverson, showing that kind of vulnerability didn't come easily. "I'm an emotional guy," he said, "but I don't like to go there." Well, that's him. He don't reflect, and neither does Shaquille O'Neal reflect all Black men. The story goes on to say, but go there he did. And in doing so, here's the ridiculous part. He gave a voice to a kind of love between Black men we rarely get to see celebrated, platonic, deep, and overflowing. Where have you been the last 50 years? Like, do you not have friends or something? Or the Black men in your life don't have friends? He describes Shaq as a big brother, a mentor, and just everything you're supposed to be as a man. "I love his family. I love how he raised his kids," he continued. "I learned from him. You know what I mean? He's just a beautiful guy. I can't talk about him." So I don't understand why we seem to have this thing that Black men don't show they love each other. Maybe it's the organizations you're in. Maybe it's the, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the family you came from. I mean, you know, we blame everything else on everything. Let's blame that on what? Like, what is that? I've seen men cry. I've cried. My friends have cried. Not at sad things, but at happy things. Where is this coming from? Where is all this ridiculousness coming from? In his new chapter, Iverson seems lighter, reflective. "I'm just happy," he said. "I'm just happy about the people in my life that helped me in my maturation. The people that I know love me and they show it, they really, really show it to me. I think it's just a beautiful life." And Black men have shown they love each other. I'm trying to think of the biggest one. Millennia? Yeah, it's 1,000 years. Like, I don't understand the big deal. I just don't understand the big deal because in most organizations I'm in, we've told, like literally said and told each other, "Hey, love you, brother." Not in a, "Yeah, I love you, but you know you kinda." But I mean genuine caring. Where you go above and beyond, where you pick up the phone and say, "Help." And they come. Not because, well, what you need help with, but because you come because they called. Now, that, of course, has its limits because you want to make sure that you stay within bounds. But if asked, absolutely. Where did this come from? That men, black men don't show vulnerability.
You know, we got to always be tough. And we always got to show.
That's on the person looking at you. That's their problem. I would never not be vulnerable or cry. I've been in car accidents and cried with a kid laying on the pavement, hit by a car, not breathing, or a kid injured, or a person where someone's life is just gone in an instant. You can be tough and vulnerable at the same time. But this thing about black men not being vulnerable, it's a lie. You agree or disagree? 833-212-1017. I'm not even torn about it. For me, it's insulting that somebody would actually sit here and say, black men, they're showing vulnerability. And of all the people in the world, you pick a sports star to represent black men? Come on. There are black men every day with their kids, their spouses, their friends, loving and caring and going through life with ups and downs and tears of sadness, but mostly tears of joy. And then you write an article as if you opened up something because this current generation has decided being overly vulnerable is the thing to do, when in fact, secretly, people think you're weak. It has to be balanced. You can't always be emotional, always be vulnerable. Part of the issue my generation has is that you overshare. And when you overshare, you paint a picture of yourself that's incomplete, because all you see is the vulnerability part and you don't see the mental toughness. You don't see the resilience. You don't see the go get it. You don't see the fight. You don't see any of that. And that is the problem. But for somebody to write in an article that black men, that black men deserve safe spaces to feel, if you're a grown man and you need a safe space, you should probably reevaluate your life. Because everywhere is safe. And that lie, that's from the pit of hell.
And that is Dr. Ken's Truth on the new 101.7 The Truth. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. Look, y'all done got me going now. Let me log in to YouTube, because I got to answer some of these questions, because y'all be. God, I love live talk radio. 833-212-1017 is the number. If you got any comments on vulnerable black men, it's just one of those days, right? Some days I can type in my password and it goes in like boom, and then other days I type in my password and the computer looks at me like, "What are you doing? Like that's not your password," and it is. But getting back to vulnerable black men, I think that it's just one of those things that people make the assumption that black men are not vulnerable, and I think they are. I think that they have shown that they have an array of emotions that they show, and so for people to assume, you know, well, you have a safe place now. I've always had a safe place. The trick is, do you care about how other people think about you when they don't know you? Or if someone doesn't like you, do you care? And mine is, nope. James, you're on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
Fine, sir. And yourself?
I'm good.
My feeling is this, Dr. Ken. You will realize at some point in time that you're vulnerable, or life will show you that you're vulnerable.
Yeah, it will.
At some point in time.
Yeah, it will.
And I'm sure there's many of men right now today in, you know, some of the correctional institutions admitted to themselves that they were vulnerable. I think they probably wouldn't be locked up right now.
Yep. And their response emotionally caused them to do something that then caused them to get locked up.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And last but not least, I do care what people think about me, you know, meaning that just to this sense that if it's wrong and you give me a chance to correct it and something that you think about me is not true, I have no problem with that. But if you don't want to hear it, then that's fine.
Well, part of that is this, right? Okay. If I do something wrong and you don't tell me and you hold it against me, I'm not walking around with it.
I'm not carrying
that garbage around. So to be mad at me about something I did or said and then not tell me is ridiculous.
You know, Dr. Kennedy, to say that without getting too deep into Christianity, a religion, the Bible says if you have an ought against your brother, go to your brother.
That's
right.
You're right
about that.
That's right.
Because sometimes we offend people knowing or unknowingly, too.
But wait.
You know.
But what it says is if your brother's overtaken in a fault, restore him.
Restore such a one.
Yes, that means you got to go to him and say, hey, dude, hey, X, you say such and such, and I got something. Well, then if X comes to me and says, hey, I got a problem with something you said on the air, I'm going to say, well, what did I say? Because the first thing people do is I apologize. Well, wait a minute. If I meant what I said, I'm not apologizing. Let's get some clarity about
took it the wrong way.
This is what. Well, you didn't take it the wrong way. You took it the way you took it, and I respect that. But that doesn't mean I'm going to apologize because you think I did something. Let's have a conversation. If I need to reevaluate what I said, or if I need to go, well, that's not what I meant. I meant this. So thank you for sharing that with me. I will change next time. I will think it through. I will. But to just go, just roll over? You and I both know, James, neither of us mean that when we say, oh, I'm sorry. No, you don't. You're not. Because you already said it.
That's right.
I already said it.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And now you're lying to yourself.
It's always a pleasure talking to you.
All right. Take care, brother.
You too.
We lie to ourselves. Let me see. Hey, Kwanda, how you doing? Matthew, payday tomorrow. Ooh, I'm going to go find Matthew. Hey, Matthew, can I have $3? RC said slavery, not showing weakness, or maybe after slavery. I'm tired of blaming slavery for everything. Slavery didn't make you wake up this morning and not get out the bed and go to work or try to find a job. You did. So come on. But I get it. Lana said, my ex-boyfriend cries in my presence because he knows I don't judge him. He feels safe. That's the only place he feels safe. Wow. What you mean by that, Lana?
Am I on the phone?
Yeah, you on the phone.
Oh, shoot. Uh-oh. I didn't know you clicked over already. How you doing, Dr. Harris?
I'm fine. How are you? That means you wasn't listening.
No, I was talking to the I had to clear my throat.
Mm-hmm. But we didn't hear all that.
Okay, good. Because, see, he I don't give out too much information.
Don't give out too much information. Because people know
you.
Yeah. And then they be like, oh, that was your boyfriend. And, oh, that was so-and-so.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was like, he's like a worker for way long time ago. Now, you don't hang around exes or anything, but this is special right here because he don't feel comfortable crying in front of, you know, a lot of people because, like, you know, he used to be a professional boxer and they'll look down on him and they'll consider him weak. And I don't judge him like that. And he does have a temper. And before he goes out and do something crazy, he'll come and talk to me because I can calm him down.
But that's ego. Like it literally takes more strength to be vulnerable than it does to not.
Yeah, but you know how people, you know, make fun of you and, you know, call you names and things like that.
You mean the way I grew up and people continue to do today? Oh, okay.
Yeah. And that'll make matters worse, you know, because he lost his mother, his sister.
So we all have death in the family.
He lost his stepmother and wife.
What does that mean?
And so
what does that mean? I'm not trying
to
be mean or not compassionate.
I know you're not.
But what does that mean? Like, you are going through something every single person is going to go through. Their parents are going to die. Their grandparents are going to die. God forbid, their children, their siblings. And until you deal with the fact that that's going to happen, like if you do just that, 95% of it's taken care of. Then I can cry freely and be broken and hurt and go on with my day.
Yeah, but he's not comfortable around, you know, people being vulnerable like that because they have the tendency to use him and, you know, make matters worse, make him feel worse.
Stop going around those people. Like, I don't get it.
He have to be around his family.
No, not
his family
really.
And people he live with.
Not really, but okay.
Yeah, because they're a close family.
Well, you can be close, but I can keep you at arm's length, too. Show up at all the barbecues and show up at all the family holidays. But we ain't got a role like that. I got some family members I don't hang out with. Like, I don't even want to mess with them. Like, I don't hang around any of my family. I mean, if my name was Lana Banana, I wouldn't hang around with you either. But, you know, I'm just saying.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't hang around me.
You would
I
not?
Would.
Oh. Okay.
Yes, I do, because I hang around myself every day.
Oh.
Yeah. Every time I wake up, I see Lana. That always in my business, in my face. No, I'm just playing. No, but for real though. But you know, I'm glad that you know he feels comfortable enough to talk to me about whatever he's going through.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you need that one person that has an open heart and a non-judgmental ear. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you need that one person because you can't tell everybody what's going on because then they'll spread some untruth about you and then there you go again. But he trusts me and we've been knowing each other for over 40-something years. So we basically know each other.
Okay.
And I'm just glad that before he go do something crazy, he'll talk to me about it because he need to be calmed down. I can calm him down.
So what does he do when he can't get to you? He just go off and do crazy stuff and beat people up?
He can always get to me.
Well, then he more than a boyfriend. He more than an ex, ain't he?
No, he's like a brother to me now.
Oh.
We ain't nothing going on.
Watch this. Wink, wink. Okay.
No, thank you. I don't go backwards like that.
Going back
but
to an
like
ex doesn't mean
me.
You're going backwards. But anyway,
I am going
that's
back
a whole
because
other, that's I don't that you, I don't wanna I don't you, you, I don't even want to get into
you,
it.
You,
I don't I'm
because that
is,
used to be
this
has
not
been
this is not the Sherwin
no more word.
This ain't so the Sherwin Hughes show, so we ain't going backwards. All right, thank you much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I appreciate you too, Dr. Harris.
All right.
Bye bye.
Yeah, somebody else picked up on that too, X, about the past. Yeah. So anyway, 414-249 said, "Hey, Dr. Ken, I believe black men do show vulnerability and emotion. They kind of, some of them kind of show too much, like driving and screaming and hollering at people and shooting guns and anyway. So usually they fear being ridiculed or judged, so they do it in silence. Black men are men. Gods amongst mere humans. No, they're not. Stop that ridiculousness." Black men ain't gods. We ain't king and queens either, so stop. Hey, how's it going, king? I don't know. I'm not a king, so what are we doing? Like, we set up these false dichotomies, and then we talk about each other, and then when that person failed, the same person that was calling you a king is dogging you when you got arrested. You ain't been convicted of nothing. They arrest you and then let you go. Oh, we ain't got nothing. We bad. And all they talk about is he got arrested. What does that mean? Nothing. But it's like we build people up and then we tear them down and ridicule them when really it's us who's doing the ridiculing and the judging, who has the problem. And then we wonder, well, I don't understand why, you know, people do that. Well, they do that because people that do that are insecure in who they are. They are not comfortable. And most people, no, some people are not comfortable with who they are. And I mean warts and all. All the bad stuff, the dumb stuff you did, the past is in the past. You can get mad at your boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, whatever, doing whatever they did in the past, but it makes no sense because it's in the past. There is literally, well, I'm not going to talk to you about something you said. People have gotten fired from stuff they said 10 years ago. Stupidity. I'm not going to let you come in this school because you said when you were 13. Like, what? You can't come to our college because, 6 years ago you said, as a child, with a child's brain, because you heard your parents say it, you call somebody the N-word. Like, all kind of ridiculous stuff. You got arrested and got a ticket as a child, so you can't go, like, we hold everything against everybody else, but we only hold the things against other people, the things we didn't do. You should stop smoking. And that's only because you don't smoke. You should stop drinking, only because you don't drink. Now, I could tease people about wearing earrings in their ear because I used to wear an earring in my ear back in college. So I could tease people. Why you got two earrings on? One, I get. Two, something wrong with that. But that's me. You should be okay if you have two earrings in your ear to wear two earrings and wear it proud. That's a man. That's a man who goes, you got two earrings on, and I go, so? But that's how I test some people, right? How do you feel about yourself? That makes no sense. You have, wow. Like somebody actually walked up to me one day, now look at this on YouTube, said, did you know you have a big head? Your forehead is huge. So you know what I did? I pulled out a picture of me when I was literally 3 years old. Had on this ugly, I would rather die than wear this shirt. Pink shirt. One of them rich pink shirts and some maroon shorts. And there's that little head with a big forehead. And I said, you mean like this? I can't believe you showed me that picture. I said, dude, I've had a big forehead my entire life. You either embrace it or you go, well, I'm good. I got to, wait a minute. I'm going to put my hat on so nobody can see my big forehead. And then people look at you with a hat and you know the first thing they say? He probably covering up his big forehead. Are you kidding me? You would change your entire life because of what somebody else who you don't even know well. Like, do you hang out with people you went to elementary school and high school with? No. You barely hang out with the people at college. People you meet in college are people, two or three, four of them, you're going to keep for the rest of your life. Everywhere else, you might see them. Do you even go to an eighth grade reunion? No, you don't go to an eighth grade reunion. You go, oh, yeah, like 20-some years ago, we went to elementary school together. And then you go about your business. You don't even remember the person's name. And we worry about what someone who doesn't know us, who has no power over us, who can't do anything to us in 5 seconds. That's like looking at the pretty girl that walks by, right? And your spouse and your wife gets mad at you. What are you looking at that girl for? I'm like, I don't know who it is. She's gone, and I will never remember who she is. I don't know her name. I don't know where she's from. Same thing with guys. Your girl look at a handsome guy, so? Because the handsome guy was looking at her. Like, it's just, we get so tied up in other people's stuff when really it's our own insecurities. And until we fix that, I don't know. Well, Daniel, give me a call. You said you find that interesting and have questions, but I will digress. Give me a call. 833-212-1017 is the number. And so, but you can post, listen to it and find out who. It's live radio. But anyway, I was talking back and forth with X. But at some point, we just need to grasp who we are and be comfortable with who we are. I said something one time to somebody, and they looked at me like, and the reason was they had done something to me that guys do to women, and a woman did it to me. And I called her on it. And I was like, well, why do you care? Well, I said, well, women do this and guys do that. So you can't complain guys looking at that when you look at that. And you know what that person said? Absolutely nothing. Because they knew I was telling the truth. If you're nice, it hit me on the talking text line at 833-212-1017 or the YouTube chat. I might tell you what it was.
Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Sexy. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. What's up, Mao? What's up, Sincere? What makes a king? He said, I do. No. You don't even know what the heck. Man, stop. EVC says, so glad you let black people know we are not kings and queens. So I get so tired of hearing that nonsense. Me too. And so my reply to the other people that was saying stuff is shaking my head. King, really? Fake. Most black people who are descendants through slavery don't even know their heritage or tribe. How can you call yourself a king or a queen? Sincere said, I'm a god and king, black and highly favorable. You mean favored? Okay. And then Lana said, dang, I've seen bigger foreheads than yours. I have too. They're called bald. And so somebody asked me, somebody said, you get your hair cut? I said, if I let my hair grow, my hair will grow to about 3 or 4 inches, and then it'll start to curl, and it'll get really tight. And I don't like that. So I keep it cut really, really low. Plus, I have one of those, like, bald spots in the top and in the back, but I've always had it my whole life. Like, even when my hair grows long, it was always thin there. In my 20s. So when I started kind of starting to gray around 24, 25, I started cutting my hair. During COVID, I let it grow pretty long. But then I just kind of evened it out, and then my beard grew in, and then people got jealous. Like, how your beard grow so fast? I said, I just shave it every day. So if you train your beard and you shave it every day, and then it grow, and then you shave it every day, then I waited every 2 days, and then I waited every 3 days to shave, and then every 4 days. And then I went about 2 weeks, and then it started to grow even because it got trained. And all of a sudden, poof. So if I let it grow, it'll grow into a nice long, and then it'll start curling, and then I'll get ingrown hair, and then it'll just be bad. So I just keep it cut. How often do you get your hair cut? Every 2 to 3 weeks, I get my hair cut every 2 weeks like clockwork. Every 2 weeks.
People say, you cut your hair? You ain't getting a hair.
Hey, Daniel. Yeah, we know. That's why we didn't repeat it, because we don't want to get nobody in trouble. And you ain't being silly. We got it. We noticed that. Yep. We was like, I'm not going to repeat that, because, you know, I can't believe she talked about my forehead. Can you believe she talked about my forehead? Hurt my feelings. Talk about my forehead. So, X, put your headphones on, turn your microphone on. I got a question. I got a question. Now, you say you're into sports, right? You got to actually talk.
Yes.
Okay. See, this talk radio, nodding your head is like, I don't know. So I like the fact that I can tease X, and he just kind of looks at me like, that's stupid. That's dumb. What are you doing? Like, you can see his brain on, yeah, whatever. Right? Because it's back and forth. And he hits me with some, too. I'd be like, ooh, that was kind of mean. But it really wasn't mean, because I really didn't get bothered by it. But this should bother you. Sports. Should players be able to play their fifth year of eligibility in college if they go to grad school?
Yes.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. I'm a player kind of guy. So if they want to you know, get an extra chance to go play somewhere else, they should be able to.
Well, not necessarily somewhere else. Just play at the same team. Why can't you play at the same team? Like if I go to University of Wisconsin-Madison and I go to grad school I played for 4 years, I should be able to play my fifth year of eligibility as a grad student.
Shouldn't yeah, I? I'm not against that, but normally they transfer.
Why?
I have no idea.
Well, there's a story where the Department of Justice is evaluating a lawsuit by Zakai Ziegler, who's challenging the NCAA's limit on extra year eligibility. United States Department of Justice is weighing in on the lawsuit by former University of Tennessee basketball player Zakai Ziegler, who is challenging the NCAA to play for an additional year while collecting compensation for his name, image, and likeness. Ziegler, who recently graduated from an undergraduate program, said in the lawsuit that he plans to pursue a graduate degree at University of Tennessee. He is the latest in a list of college athletes filing lawsuits against the NCAA, saying he hopes to compete in his fifth year of college basketball, arguing that he has a five-year eligibility window despite already graduating from UT's undergraduate program. The lawsuit argues that an arbitrary NCAA rule limits student athletes to participate in four seasons of competition. It also claims the NCAA's rule violates the Sherman Act, constituting an unreasonable restraint of trade because when student athletes' eligibility ends, they are effectively locked out of the NIL market. And the lawsuit argues that many other student athletes compete during their fifth year of eligibility, earn extra compensation for NIL while playing. And the lawsuit said Ziegler's NIL valuation for 24-25 season. I'm sorry, 25-26 season, next season, ranges between $2 and $4 million. Should he win this argument?
Yeah. I mean, for what, the last 50, 60 years, college players were basically indentured servants to the universities. I mean, obviously they got, you know, scholarships or whatever, but now there's a lot of money in it, especially for, you know, high-level D1 schools. Mm-hmm. You're going to see a lot more of these lawsuits coming in because it's actually turned into big business, which I believe it always should have been.
Well, I totally agree. And so one of the issues is the NCAA looks at students as student athletes. The law looks at students as student athlete laborers. So when the labor market steps in, it should override what NCAA decided they wanted to do because they've had a monopoly and have made close to $1 trillion off of players.
Yeah.
And gave nothing in return. They said, well, they got a scholarship. Well, they didn't get a scholarship. The NCAA didn't give them a scholarship.
Yeah. I mean, look at players like Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
He made probably for the university at USC, he probably made them hundreds of millions of dollars during that time.
Look at this. Everybody at Alabama.
Exactly.
But yet, couldn't get paid.
Exactly.
And it took a school like Northwestern, that has a great law school, by the way, and they got lawyers, and they went, nope, we're going to argue this. And they won because you were literally pimping out players. You had to wear the coach's shoes. You had to have the idiocy on your jersey because that's what the NCAA said you're going to put on there. You got a sponsor, but you can't get paid. Well, that'll mess up the game. How does it not mess up the game for the coach, but it messes up the game for the player when the coach is getting paid tens of millions of dollars and you're getting nothing?
Yeah.
Nothing. So, interesting. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
That's right. You was one of them scholarship athletes, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stealing school's money.
No.
Getting paid. Well, we gave you an education for it. Dude, that little measly education versus $4 million, I'll take the $4. I mean, think about this. I can go to school, play for 4 years, get paid, and roll.
Yeah.
Now, the people I think it'll hurt is the NFL and the NBA. Because if I'm a good player and I don't want to go to the NBA or NFL, I can just get my money on nil and roll out. And those marginal players that are still good, that have name, image, and likeness payments. You know, they can just leave.
Yeah, for players like Cooper Flagg next year, it's going to be actually like for his rookie contract, it'll be a pay cut.
Yep. Yep.
And he's the number. He'll be the number one overall draft pick.
Yep. Well, he was the number one, wasn't he?
No,
it's next year, right?
It's this upcoming draft this summer.
And so, should he go?
Yeah, I think so.
If he doesn't go, he can go back to school and get paid.
Yeah, I mean, the overall money, overall, he'll make a lot more money in the NBA, you know, because, you know, shoe contracts, stuff like that. He'll be able to get a lot more sponsorships. But, you know, players lesser than him and stuff like that, you know, like I can't think of a player off the top of my mind, but some players are worth $5-6 million. But if they go to the NBA or the NFL, they'll be a fifth, sixth round draft pick.
Right.
And that's a huge pay cut.
Right. And so you get the standard contract. And why would I do that? But then again, if my money's invested like I should, I can go take a pay cut. Because in the long run, that second contract is golden.
Exactly.
Right? Unless you're, I don't know, going to Cleveland, you know, got to deal with Flacco.
Yeah.
Who's still on top of his game. So we might, you know, dude might think he gonna go in and flash this dude, but I'm like, Tom Brady at his oldest age smoked most of them. So it was kind of like you don't have the experience he has.
Tomas Shedeur Sanders?
Yeah, he ain't gonna go. He might be number two, maybe three, but he ain't rolling in number one. That's not gonna happen.
I think it'll start off with Joe Flacco starting the first couple weeks, but it'll be downhill, kind of like what happened last year with the Colts.
Right.
You know, they took him out for Anthony Richardson. Then, you know, he put up a couple disaster games and they had to put him back in there.
Right.
So I think
because it's too soon.
Yes,
he needs to do what Aaron Rodgers did. Thank you. Here's a clipboard. Here's some headphones. Go sit down.
Yeah, I say by week six he'll be the starter.
Nah, yeah. Absolutely.
Depending on how the team's record is, if he's not if
he's, we're talking about Cleveland.
Yeah.
Depending on how the team's record is.
Yeah, it all depends. It all depends. I don't know.
Come on now.
They got the defense.
Come on now. They do have the defense. Yeah, they just don't have the offense. So you can stop the other team from scoring, but when you can't score, it don't matter.
Exactly. And then that's when, you know, the fans will get mad, and then they'll be like, okay,
we'll see. You're in there. You just hoping the black kid make it, right?
No, I just watched enough sports today.
I'm hoping the black kid make it. Like, I don't know. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. We got top five at five coming up pretty soon, but we're calling all black owned business owners and entrepreneurs. Are you looking to share your story and grow your reach? We've teamed up with Associated Bank and our black owned business give back. In each quarter, four lucky business owners will win an opportunity to spotlight their brand and journey on the award winning 1017 The Truth. So to sign up for your black business, black spotlight interviews, visit BlackBusinessGiveBack.com. That's BlackBusinessGiveBack.com. Let's rebuild our community's backbone through exposure on the award-winning 1017 The Truth. For official rules, head to BlackBusinessGiveBack.com. Associated Bank, our partner, member FDIC. 833-212-1017 is Lana. You need to stop. You need to quit.
This is a big forehead.
And then she put this really big, like, oblong. She said, my baby had George Jefferson hairline. What was the George Jefferson hairline? It was pretty. He went from afro to small. So as he got older. So I don't know. Sherman Hemsley. Okay. But getting back to this NCAA thing, I think it's important that players have the ability to use all the laws in the country, and they shouldn't get boxed out by coaches and schools who want to take all the money instead of paying it for them. And so, you know, each school has to have an NIL director who does it, which means y'all need to audit them to make sure they're not steering money to certain players and others. You know what I'm saying? So if I come to a school and I say I'm bringing $3 million with me, I should get $3 million. Not we're going to take a cut for administrative this or that. And I don't know how it's set up. But anyway, a hearing they requested a hearing. It's going to be on June 6th. That's Friday in the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Tennessee. So we'll see how that goes. We're going to keep up with that. They said, NCAA said, eligibility rules are non-commercial in nature and fall outside the scope of the Sherman Act. Not when people get paid. Once people get paid, baby, you fall under the Sherman Act. Sorry. And that's me as a non-lawyer. And clearly, all those lawyers saw something to it because they all filed lawsuits. So this will be an interesting one. If he wins, like those, you know, unknown players at Northwestern, if he wins and he gets it, look out. Because now, if you think the draft is light now, I don't think they're going to get through five rounds or six rounds in a draft because I'm staying year five. Speaking of five, top five at five up next.
Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.